Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
You're on 101.9 Hi FM. Thank you for joining us. We have this week a very interesting show for you. We have our show lined up. Normally, there's a three-part structure to the show. Normally, we start off with our labor law segment. And then we move into a psychology or a people segment where we talk about issues in the workplace where people are coming up against recurring themes in HR. So if you've never heard the show before, it does have a bit of an HR focus to it. And we focus on issues that affect people in the workplace. And every week, we also then, at the end of the show, have a segment where we talk about recruitment. So we'll have a few jobs that are currently available on the market that could be of interest to people listening to the show. So wait and look out for that. I'm sure that you're going to find it very, very interesting. We're going to start off with our law segment, and we're going to be talking to Karen, who is a law specialist, is our in-house lawyer tonight. And we've got a few things that I want to talk to Karen about, which is basically how the law protects mental health in the workplace. And so we're going to go straight to Karen. Hello, Karen. How are you?
Hi, well, thanks, and you? Thanks good. For having me.
Good, good. Karen, thanks for joining us. We want to look at this from a few areas. I mean, at the moment, what is really sort of the available to people to access in terms of the LRA and the BCEA? You know, there's basically... you know, they govern the basic conditions of employment and relational things, more relational things in the LRA. So if you had to go and look for areas that specifically are pertain to mental people's rights with regard to mental health, I mean, where would you find things like that?
So I think, you know, at the moment in South Africa, we don't have, like you say, we don't have one specific piece of legislation that deals with mental health, but it's really covered in various acts. You know, Labor Relations Act is one of them, like you say, Basic Conditions, Occupational Health and Safety Act is fairly important. It requires employers to provide a workplace that is safe and free from risks. So traditionally, you would look at physical, but this also extends to mental hazards. So a workplace that is free from excessive stress, for example. So employers are required to provide those workplaces that are safe and healthy. That also, right, is enshrined in terms of Section 9 of the Constitution.
No.
The Basic Conditions of Employment Act allow for rest periods, sick leave for mental health, those type of things.
So, are there any specific sections? You know, is it basically up to people who are doing legal work in organizations to understand? You know, are there specific areas of those acts? I think that's what I'm going for. You know, what I know about is the Mental Health Care Act. Is there a sort of set of acts that somebody in HR would, you know, do looking after labor relations? Would they have to look at in particular?
Yeah, I think they would definitely have to look at things like the Occupational Health and Safety Act, providing a safe workplace, the Employment Equity Act, which talks about providing a workplace that is free from, harassment, bullying, those type of things. The Labor Relations Act talk about unfair dismissal or discrimination on the basis of mental health or illness. So those are all aspects specifically that that you would need to look at and address in a workplace. So there's quite a duty on employers to make sure that the workplace is free from those type of triggers, and also to assist employees who suffer from mental health conditions.
Yeah. So I mean, some of those conditions. Does the law get very specific about that, in terms of which conditions?
Not within the labor, not within the space specifically. The basic conditions says, for example, you can take sick leave. It extends to mental health conditions, obviously, if you've got a doctor's note, etc., or when required. You can't discriminate, so they would have to make allowances if required, but it's fairly broad and it's not specific around mental health.
Right. So I suppose it comes down to when there's a dispute about something. I'm trying to think, in terms of my HR experience, when I think over the past few years since COVID, there's been a sort of move towards more more focused attention on people's mental well-being in the workplace, where it's become a far more personalized industry, healthcare anyway. So everything's about you, specifically about you. I don't know how much the law has followed suit on that. But, in terms of what's happened in the last 2 years, there's probably been a shift in policy in policy generally towards greater focus on being more sensitive to people's mental well-being in the workplace. But as far as the law goes, I mean, is there anything new that's come out in the last 2 years that people might not know about?
Not really. There was a code of good practice on harassment, bullying, victimization, which was updated to extend what the definition of harassment bullying is, to include things that may be detrimental to other people's mental health. I think really what's happened is, I think employees are looking for employers who want to make sure that their workplace is conducive to one that is aware of people's mental health and their mental well-being. And there is a responsibility on employers to take that into account. And the acts, while they may not address it specifically, are definitely broad enough now to extend to mental health conditions, anxiety, depression, et cetera, and to be aware of it and to take steps to accommodate those employees.
So it kind of starts out in a very behavioral sort of context. It's got a it sounds like it's been designed to really avoid any kinds of major, unacceptable types of behavior. And then slowly now sort of started to broaden out and to include sort of more areas. I mean, do you think, constitutionally wise and under this new government that we've got, where do you think we're going with this in the country? I mean, I think it could probably only get more more sensitive to various conditions, I would say. It's a projection. Things tend to get more specific as you go along. But looking at it from a law perspective, this new government, what direction do you think we're going in with all of this?
Look, I do think there is a lot more emphasis on what we would say more less physical and more kind of soft skills, soft concerns. So, rather I have a cold to I have anxiety, etc., to employers being more aware of it. And it is going to become more of a trend, given, you know, our constitution guarantees the right to a health and, you know, healthy and safe environment.
Mm.
This can extend and should extend to the workplace.
Mm.
And it can be interpreted to encompass mental health, especially when your working conditions can negatively affect an employee's mental health, well-being. Mm. And I think we will see more of it. I think you're right, given COVID, and I think that there is a rise in mental health conditions on the one hand, and awareness of them on the other, and acceptance that they do affect people's lives relatively seriously, that there will be more and more, we'll see more and more cases where at the CCMA or within the labor courts, where they're looking at these type of things.
Mm.
And did the employer, you know, fulfill their obligations to make sure that that environment is safe and healthy for their employees, whether it's employee wellness programs or support or counseling programs, making sure that there's no victimization, harassment, bullying, etc., those type of things.
Mm. Yeah, Karen, it's probably going to come down to contractual obligations on to some extent for a lot of it, and then sort of what else is out there. If there's a dispute, it comes, things can land up in the CCMA. Karen, thank you so much. We've got to move on to our next segment now. Thank you so much for your input. It's been great having you on the show. Thank you.